Logan, CigarFederation.com, Pipe Dummies, Episode 17, Elizabethan Mixture by Dunhill. Ben was supposed to be here, but he's nowhere to be found. So I've got my trusty sidekick, the one and only, the mystery man, Gerard.
Gerard, come on. I get enough people saying my name wrong all day, and you get to
do it. Why'd your parents name you so stupid? Like, where it was so complicated, where you got people just fucking it up all over the place.
They didn't want it to be like everybody else's Jared. They wanted it to, well, my mom. See, my mom wanted it to be spelled different.
I can see that.
My dad's first pick for a name is just, be glad my name is Jared.
What was your dad's option? Was it like Chester the Molester?
I don't know if I even want to say. I can't. But I still can't believe it's actually what he was wanting.
No, seriously, you got to say it now.
I mean, you would think that my parents were like rock stars. It's that kind of name.
Was it like Rain?
Along the same lines as, what the fuck were you thinking? You would never guess.
Hold on.
My parents weren't really hippies that I know of either, but it's
Was it like Storm Shadow or something?
You're in the right lines, definitely.
Is it like some sort of weather?
More astrological.
Were you like Pisces?
No.
Sagittarius?
No, no signs. No normal. I would even consider that normal compared to what he was thinking.
Something astrological? Were you like Milky Way?
That's pretty close.
I don't even know other, Andromeda. I don't know other galaxies outside the Milky Way.
Well, you come a little closer.
You like Mars?
Really close. Like the closest you can get without being Earth. And then
Moon? What you
get when the sun shines off it at night.
Eclipse?
Moonbeam.
You were going to be named Moonbeam? Are you fucking shitting me?
We're live, my mom told me that's what my dad wanted to do. And I was like,
"You're
going to
be Moonbeam Johnston."
I guess.
Holy fuck!
Like I said, you'd never guess that. Who would ever
Moonbeam? That? Dude, that's fucking outlandish.
I know. So I never did get the chance to ask my dad what the hell he was thinking, but
you never recovered from that. Moonbeam.
Yeah, right. You would expect some tie-dyeing hippies to be doing that.
I mean, I can see that because I've met your mom a couple times, and your mom's kind of a free spirit. Not like a hippie, but just like wild, you know?
So they
I can
call see it out of your mom. Hippies.
I can see it out of your mom, but like, from what you say, your dad is more like you, and your brother's more like your mom. And I just, if your dad was anything like you, I just don't see that.
Yeah, I don't know what was going on, but and I guess it was 1979, so.
Well, that's not even a good year. That's like Reagan was almost elected.
Well, maybe he just didn't want to let go.
I guess that's true. Hey, Ben.
Hello.
What's going
Hello,
on?
Hello, fine sir. How was your holiday?
It was all right.
How was Webster?
It wasn't bad. We actually had Thanksgiving at one of my wife's co-workers' cousin's house. It was pretty nice.
That was nice.
It was over in Pearland,
Texas?
Yep.
I'll drive back. Did you come back yesterday or the day before?
No, I came back yesterday. I've been going balls out for pretty much 2 weeks now. So.
Of what, driving or just working or what?
Yep, all of the above.
Well, that's cool. So we're smoking your shit tonight, Ben.
Yeah, I'm lining it up now.
The Elizabethan. So, I gotta say, when Jared and I opened the tins before the show, Jared, I want to, Ben, you can tell us right in a second what you think it smells like. But Jared, what did you say it smells like?
Well, once you get a couple good whiffs, it just smells like the molasses grain feed for horses.
Exactly. That's what I said it smelled like a grain elevator. And raisins.
Well, I have no freaking idea what horse feed smells like, because me and horses don't get along real well. So,
get bucked off one?
Well, let's just say when I was younger, I had a friend who's his grandparents lived in Bogalusa, Louisiana.
Hold up a second. Bugaloosa?
Bogalusa.
Bogalusa. Okay. Yeah. Moonbeam and Bogalusa.
Yeah.
If I ever have any more kids, that's what they're getting called.
So, anyway, they had a horse out there. Was I don't know. I was really, really young. Anyway, his name was Traveler, right? And we kind of just rode this horse bareback, or sometimes we would throw an old tire up on top of him and ride it like that. And anyway, one day he went crazy and started running full speed through a thicket with me on the back of him. Uh-oh. And got up, got out of the thicket, ran straight towards this big pond they had there. I just thought I was going straight into that water. And he got right near the water, turned, and came to a complete stop. I went over him, went on the ground. And then, I don't know, something spooked him. So, and then my brother-in-law had a couple horses that stayed at my mother-in-law's place. She has, you know, nice little spread. And they bit.
Horses bite?
Oh, yeah. They love the bite. So, and horses, we don't see eye to eye.
You don't see eye to eye. Huh. I think I got bucked off a horse when I was like 6. And then I've never ridden them again. I don't like them. They're assholes.
Yeah, they are. They're assholes.
Yeah, and they're very expensive, but they're fun. I like them. I've never been bucked. I've been headbutted, but I've never got thrown off.
So, ironically enough, and so everyone that's watching tonight, this is what should have been our third Dunhill show, but we canceled last week because between Ben's schedule and the holidays and all types of shit going on, we canceled. So this is technically our second Dunhill show.
Yeah.
So tonight we'll be giving away 5 tins of the Elizabethan mixture. And just so you know, for anyone that's ever watched this train wreck of a show before, we talked about how to date Dunhill tins. And Jared and I have the same date, but the ones we're giving away are actually quite old. They are from November 3rd of 2013.
What's your code?
All right, my code is, let me just get a new tin here. It is CB023, K as in
Kilo. King.
Yeah, never in the Army, 37.
Yep. I would have thought we would have got the same code.
I would think so. But it makes me wonder, like, you know, all the other stuff we got was recent, like from, you know, July of this year and stuff. So, I mean, it wasn't fresh, but it wasn't 2 years old either. I'm wondering how the hell either this – I'm just wondering if this is not selling or they overproduce it or what. But it seems very strange to give away, you know, for them to donate for the samples tonight that we're giving away. 5 tins, by the way. So you got to stick around during the show to win those tins. But give away some that are like 2 years old already.
I don't know. I don't know what they're doing with. They got one of those new moonshine pipes.
This is the devil and eyes or whatever it is.
The devil anus.
The devil anus?
Not the anus, the anus.
I know, like an eyes. Like what Sokka told me, the silver mesa tastes like licorice.
Licorice.
I beg to differ, but
I don't know if I get that at all.
I don't know. I've smoked a fucking bundle of those bitches already.
They're freaking awesome.
Dude, I don't understand why people are hating on the shit so much.
Well, like, who's hating on it?
I haven't seen everybody. Like, dude, I've been like this. I swear to God, on Facebook, at least twice a day, I see someone like bashing it. And it's not like this thing tastes like shit, but it's like I'd rather go smoke an infinitely worse cigar than that. It's crazy. That cigar is fucking awesome.
Stupid fucking cigar bloggers.
No, it's not the bloggers. The bloggers are all nutting over it. It's like jackhole consumers.
Well, I won't say what I was going to say then.
Everyone's been nutting all over.
I like it, and that's all I care about. Yeah, this is a. This is actually one of their seconds. I bought this before they did. They have a big sale going on right now, actually.
I was going to buy stuff, but it's all the cheap shit sold out.
Is it? I even looked at it lately. But like now, if you buy one now, you get like a free T-shirt, a free tamper, a sticker pack. I bought this like what, a week ago, bastard.
Like I went and looked. All they have is like the Triple X series it's in, and those are all like $130 or whatever.
Yeah, they're he's got a new finish called that laser. I mean laser, leather blast or something like that. It looks it looks badass. I like it, especially in that the poker he has called the Patriot. It looks awesome.
I really like the one that he did, the pipe, and they didn't have them, or I would have bought one. But it's the one that you have. But it's like the egg or whatever.
Oh, the deviled egg.
Yeah, I think that thing is legit.
Oh, yeah, me too. It's badass.
But it's like $150.
But yeah, but, I mean, it's hand carved in Charlottesville, Virginia.
I don't really, what's this guy's deal? So, like, he was, like, this, you know, boutique freaking pipe maker guy. And then now he, like, has pipe tobacco and pipes and cigars. And then now he's, like, doing mass production pipes. Like, what the fuck's his deal here?
I don't really know. I thought with the moonshine pipes, I just thought that's his pipe company that he just is taking it, you know, full steam ahead now. I mean, I don't think there was a
special. He's selling pipes and cigars now.
Yeah, he makes a specific line just for them called the Mason Jar or something. And they actually look pretty damn cool.
That's right.
Too. They're like $70 or something.
Mm-hmm.
But this one's a second. And, dude, it took me a while to find why this was a second. I mean, the camera probably not going to pick it up, but right it's there
at the bottom.
Yeah, that little ding.
That's it.
That's it. No effect of the smoking in whatsoever, but I saved like $60 because of that.
That's cool. You know, that's one thing. I mean, I smoke boutique cigars. I have an ass ton of pipe tobacco. But you know what? I do not own one quote-unquote boutique pipe.
Well, I own two now.
I have a couple Petersons, Savinelli, Drew Estate, Sugie. I've got my Bareba, Brebby, or however the fuck you say it. I've got a Sassini from 1970, a long Canadian. It's fucking awesome. And then a couple old Dunhills from the 60s. And that's about it.
Well, a little bit of everything almost. But I just figured, you know, I'm in a lot of those pipe groups that are on Facebook. And there's a lot of, you know, small-time pipe makers that, you know, they're constantly posted on there. And they make some beautiful-looking pipes, too. So, I mean, why not? Why can't they be just as good as, like, some of the, you know, bigger brands or whatever? So, you know, I know Jonathan that runs Moonshine Pipes got a pretty big following. You know, then you got Dagner Pipes, who they have a freaking cult-like following. It's crazy.
Who's Dagner Pipes?
I don't know exactly where they're out of, but they have a YouTube channel that's got like a shit ton of followings. And they usually have a pretty big following. Like you know what they kind of remind me of a little bit is like the Drew Estate of Pipes. Because,
really?
Yeah, because the two guys that are on there running it and one of the guys' wives, they kind of look like kind of the rockabilly kind of biker thing going
right.
on. You know, they do a lot of motorcycle stuff, and it kind of translates in their pipes and stuff. And they do like a YouTube a show kind of like this, and it's pretty cool. But it's but yeah, they have a huge cult like following, kind of like what Jonathan Drew has, you know. And they he makes some really nice pipes, dude. But as soon as he puts them out, dude, gone. I mean, like quick.
And expensive.
No, not really. I mean, like the one that I sent y'all, that was like, it was $99. You know, a little stubby kind of billiard thing. With that copper ring, dude, that's what did it for me. That copper, I was really freaking fine as hell. So I bought it. It got shipped, so it should be here probably tomorrow.
Damn, you've been on a tear, son.
That's two pipes. That's all I think I've done.
Anybody?
Well, just because I'm getting deals.
Things are Balkan, Sobrani.
Oh, that's just awesome luck there. Two tens is not even scratching the surface of what I want with that. So
yeah, that's true. Hey, Moonbeam, you're awfully quiet over there.
Moonbeam.
I have nothing to add at the moment. I have no pipe collection, so I'm just letting y'all have at it.
Moonbeam. Oh, my God. I cannot believe you told me that story, because you know that I'm going to fucking call you Moonbeam for the rest of your life, right? Hey, Moonbeam. Oh, God, it's awesome. So, what do you guys think about this blend so far?
You want to go first?
Moonbeam.
It's getting better to me than the first... Oh, at the first 5 minutes of it was. I'm still not sure my full thoughts on it, but it's starting to grow.
Yeah, it's I like it. It's a Virginia Perique, man. It's a vapor, which is it's one that I really like. I really love vapors, and I get a nice little spicy, sharp spiciness to it. A little bit of hay and molasses. I mean, it's just kind of delicious, but it does burn hot. You definitely got to smoke this slow. Or at least for me, it burns hot.
I was going to say the same thing, is that, you know, on the first couple of, you know, once I got into it just a little bit, dude, I kind of got the bitty bites a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And it burns. I mean, I'm usually not real good at, like, keeping a bowl lit or, like, actually tamping and having it still lit.
Yeah.
And this thing's still going. So, like, I kind of had to slow back a little bit. But I definitely get the molasses, but kind of a sweetness up front.
Yeah.
And then I definitely agree with the hay. And, you know, one thing I'm noticing right out of the gate is I'm not a big vapor fan. Like, I'm smoke mostly English and Balkan blends. And then I stay away from the Boone's Farm. But this one, it seems very light for a vapor. Like, yeah. When I smoke Escudo and some of those, like, that shit rips my ass. Like, it's no fucking around. This seems like it's almost like, I don't know, like I'm trying to think of a good cigar reference. You know, you haven't smoked the 1502, but it's a Neanderthal is like the Escudo, and this is more like a Cro-Magnon. It's just not as strong. It's not as intense.
No, I don't think it was meant to be. I think it was meant to be a little bit on the lighter side. Like, there's not a whole lot of Perique in this for me that I think. I may be wrong. I may be totally off, but it
doesn't taste like it.
Yeah, it's definitely pretty low on the mix there.
Yeah, to me it's mostly Virginia, to me. But I do taste a Perique in there.
Is the Perique where the pepper and kind of spice comes from?
Yep.
That's what I thought.
But retrohale this. You'll definitely get spice.
Not that bad, though.
But you get a lot more of it. I get like double the spice when I retrohale.
Moonbeam, does the retrohale double your spice, too?
It doesn't give me a lot of spice. It definitely changes up the flavors a bit, but I'm trying to place what I'm getting out of it. It's definitely, the Perique shows itself a lot more on the retrohale side, flavor-wise.
I just don't know why, but I just don't think I like Perique. I know that's like sacrilegious, but...
Not really. I mean if you're definitely more English style, then... I mean, it's kind of the opposite of Latakia, so.
Yeah, it kind of is. But where does KFC fall? Like, where does Firecure tobacco fall on that spectrum? Is it, like, in the middle? Because I don't really like it in anything either. I'm just a picky some bitch.
I don't know. I don't know. I think this was supposed to be more of a smooth like vapor blend. You know what I'm saying? Like it's not. I don't think it's supposed to like kick you in the teeth with the spiciness of the Perique anyway. Shit, I gotta slow down. The pipe's getting hot.
You need to tell Jonathan and whatever his last name is that your egg's all fucked up, smoking hot for the world to see.
No, it's because it's from Virginia. I gotta be careful. Virginia's, I always smoke them hot, no matter what it is. I just gotta slow down on it.
You know, I think I smoke a pipe way too fast.
I think I normally do, and I feel like I'm smoking this one pretty fast, but it's not getting hot.
Yeah, this one doesn't, I mean, the walls aren't as thick. Like, I'm used to that Sergiopico, which has, like, a freaking massive-ass wall all the way around the bowl. So I can smoke it a little bit hotter or faster than I normally would anything else. This one is just a smaller pipe. I mean, overall, it's a smaller pipe, you know? So, it's the same as, like, in my GBD. I mean, you can see the difference there, but the walls, I mean, the walls are thicker on the moonshine than it is on the GBD, and this one gets a little bit hot for me, too. But, like, on that Ardor Blowfish that I have, and the Sergiopico, they're thick, really thick walls, and I've kind of noticed myself, I've been smoking those two pipes almost exclusively, with occasionally my GBD thrown in there. But since I've gotten this one, this is only the second time I've actually smoked out of this pipe. Because when I was in Houston, I didn't really have anywhere that I could go really smoke a pipe, you know. So I only broke this in like one time so far. This is only the second bowl that I've had in this.
Did it have the clean walls? No. Or did it have the brown or the black casing inside of it?
No, it had the pre-carbonization bowl coating in it.
Because I'm starting to be fascinated by this, because this Suge that I have, I think it's called the E-Star. But it's got a little pre-carbonized bowl to it. But then I have a Savinelli that I got in an estate thing, and I haven't smoked it. It was brand new, but it's an estate pipe. But it's clean on the inside. So I just don't know this whole thing.
It's a new thing.
Like, what is the point?
I really got to get one of those freaking Drew Estate Suge pipes.
Dude, the Drew Estate one, the true Drew, and I have one of those, is literally $300. But it's a big bowl. It's legit.
Yeah.
Before you do it, buy this, like, the E-Star, because it's the same exact concept with the chamber and all that, but it's just a smaller pipe. Like, I could see myself definitely smoking this. Like, it's not like I, like... It's weird, because, like, with a cigar, I can smoke a Churchill. Like, yes, I don't really like it. It's not my favorite Vitola, but I can smoke a Churchill or a Toro as long as it's not freezing outside. And, like, some cigars, I actually prefer in a longer Vitola.
Right.
But with a pipe, I mean, I don't really like big, fat, bold pipes. Like, I like shorter smoked pipes. Like, I couldn't imagine having a Churchill version of a, or a Toro version of a pipe. Like, the ones I like the best is that little Dunhill with the size 2 bowl.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I'm kind of the other way around. I wouldn't mind a size 4.
It's just too much. All the ash is down there just finger-fucking each other. It just, I don't know, it just gets all nasty when you get down there.
All nasty.
It's all nasty.
Made it pretty sound pretty nasty.
The dottle?
It does.
It just makes a giant dottle for you down there?
It does, man. And it just gets all kind of like rat shit tasting in the mouth. I just like a quick pipe. Just a quick pipe. Just like a whoop whoop. You know?
Yeah. I understand that. I guess it depends on the mood. Like, if I would just want to relax and chill and don't care about nothing, I kind of want a bigger pipe, but, you know, I don't know. I don't have a preference either way, to be honest.
Kind of worry about myself. Yeah. I don't have enough to worry about it.
I mean, it's the same with cigars.
Not a shocker. No one asked any questions for the show. Thank you, loyal audience.
Yeah.
Yeah, they, I don't know, it's the same with cigars. Like, I'm just as happy to smoke like a Petite Cazadores from Tatuaje as I am from like smoking like, you know, I don't know, like a Churchill, like the Sober Mesa Churchill or the Elway Weise. I don't know what Nick picked such a hard name. But that in a Churchill is really good too. I don't know.
Oh, dude, that's my favorite Vitola.
The Churchill one?
In the Win Weise?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, the Churchill's the best.
I was smoking the shit out of Corona Gordas.
Huh?
I've been smoking the shit out of Corona Gordas.
I mean, those are good too. That's my second favorite. But the Churchill is just beautiful.
Yeah.
The worst is the Robusto, in my opinion.
I don't know if there's really a worst.
Well, it's a great cigar across the board, but I don't. The Robusto didn't do it for me.
Time to slow down some more.
That little gurgle a minute ago.
How do you gurgle in a vapor?
Yeah, I get it too.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I just put the pipe cleaner through. See?
Man.
Yeah, I got a little gurgle too. I got it away now, but it was
there. I get it most every time that I smoke this.
I'm glad it's not just me.
No, I do it every time. I haven't smoked this when I didn't get a gurgle. And it's not a bad one, like some aromatics, but I mean, it's just enough to be annoying, you know. That I'll stick a pipe cleaner down there, but I only have to stick one pipe cleaner for the whole bowl, and I'm good to go. Sometimes it's not even enough to put a pipe cleaner down. I just let it keep going, let it go, you know.
You see, and I haven't even been getting gurgles with my aromatics. I haven't been doing anything bad.
You haven't been getting no gurgles with your Boone's Farm, their Moonbeam. No,
my Boone's Farm smokes just fine.
Okay, bye. I still can't fucking get over that your parents are going to call you Boone Beam.
No, my dad wanted to. My mom had nothing to do with that.
Fuck that, we're not doing this?
Well, you know, although I was in existence at the time, I don't quite remember what was said.
I need to talk to your mother about this.
It'd probably be an interesting conversation. I haven't brought that up in a long time.
I'll be like, Howard, you almost called your son Moonbeam. Anyways. So, yeah. How was you guys' holidays? Good?
Good. Lots of traveling, lots of driving, lots of family.
Can you ever have too much family?
Yeah.
I hear that.
I just stuck it in that little apartment with my son for hours on end. Because I'm still working. Because my wife, we're sitting in a little extended stay, so it's very small. So, you know, I got to work at, you know, 7:30. She has to go in 11. She didn't get off at 9:30. So, really, that's why I couldn't go to any cigar shop or go outside there to have a cigar, because I couldn't leave him alone, you know. But then I found right around the corner, and my wife found this on like Wednesday. There was a little park right around the corner that I could smoke at while he played on the playground.
Nice, dog.
Yeah, I was able to smoke this pipe there. Then I did a short review on the Undercrown Shade in the Toro Grand Toro size for Stogger review. Then we get all that done, but. It rained, like, the day after I found it, I went there, and then, like, the next day it poured down rain, and the next day I was able to go for about an hour and a half or so, or 2 hours, and then after that, it rained for, like, 3 days there.
Oh, really?
And the cold front came through.
Yeah. It was pretty cold.
Cold and wet.
It was weird. It was, like, freezing cold one day on Saturday. And then Sunday, it was, like, back to being warm and muggy again. I was like, what the hell, Texas?
Texas. That's the answer to your question.
Y'all drive like shit, by the way. Just want to let any of you Texans know.
No, people in Houston drive like shit.
Well, same difference.
People in Houston drive great. Come down to Corpus Christi. I'll drive in Houston any day.
Still not as bad as Louisiana drivers, but pretty damn bad. But I haven't been to Corpus Christi, though, so.
Well, there's a reason I sold my bike.
Yeah.
That was mainly it. I just got tired of almost getting killed on a daily basis.
You'll see.
And I used to drive Houston. Didn't bother me at all.
Wow. Yeah. A yellow light is just, it's the same as a green. It doesn't matter. And a red is a suggestion.
Hurry up.
Yeah.
No. Blow yellow through red. Hurry up. Red is your choice.
Well, I have a new saying now of my wife. When I go to a red light, I'm like, oh, just text us that light. Just text it with me. Just go on. Don't worry about the light. Just go on. Nothing's coming. Screw it. Just go. Just text us that light.
That's why we all drive those big trucks. If we ever get into anything in a light, we're going to win.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, it was fun driving my F-150 King Ranch around there. I felt in with the in crowd when I was there.
Oh, you definitely are with that truck.
Here's a question. Who would win in a duel? Your F-150 or 250 King Quad Dually or a Moonbeam?
A Moonbeam.
Definitely a Moonbeam.
Yeah.
Isn't that the name of a James Bond movie?
Moonraker.
Moonraker, that's what it was. Did that come out about the time that you were born?
Yeah, Moonraker 79.
When that came out?
Same year I was born.
Do you think your father got inspiration from Moonbeam from Moonraker?
I suppose it is possible. Like I said, I don't remember the exact
thing. I think it's a good story, so I would say yeah.
I think that makes a lot of sense. By the way, did you see the new Bond?
Of course I did.
Is it good?
I saw it at 7 p.m. on the night it released.
I don't know what movies are like in a movie theater for the last year and a half.
Well, we go to one or two every couple of years, I think. I think the last one I made it to was Skyfall in theaters. So, yeah, I don't make it to many movies right now.
We used good to go. Movie. Do you guys have an Alamo Draft House?
They are supposed to be building it.
Well, dude, Alamo Draft House will change the way you watch movies.
Oh, I know. I've been to it before.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I've been to the ones in Houston. No, I know what you're talking about. But this,
wait, there's one in Houston? Open.
There is one. I think there's one in Houston.
Yeah, that's what I used to go to.
It's basically a movie theater, but it's smaller, and they serve food and beer.
Yeah, well, there's one in Webster called Star Cinema, Star something Cinema. Yeah, my wife and I, we go to that, and we'll drink some wine and eat some nachos while
same
watching
thing,
TV.
Exactly. It was one of the first places in the U.S. Because there are like five or six of them in Austin. They've expanded. I know the guy. I actually used to work with the guy. I know the guy who bought the trademark and now franchises them out. But for real smart dude. But yeah, it's cool. And you can go there. It's fun. Usually there's no kids. It's more of an adult thing. So you don't ever have crying babies. But then
that's the same with this one.
Have a baby. You can't go with your crying baby.
That's the way the Star one is. Kind of the same thing.
Well, the one they're looking at building here is literally maybe 2-minute drive from my house. Maybe. I mean, I could walk it.
That's awesome.
Where would it be? Would it be you pull out of your neighborhood and you head towards Staples Street, or you head the other way?
Head towards Staples. Like that intersection where the CVS and the Stripes is?
Yep.
Right on that corner.
The other corner?
Yeah, the one by the church.
Man, that's not that far at all.
Mm-mm. Walking distance.
My thing is, why aren't all movie theaters like that? I mean, really?
Probably. Why not do that? I don't know. Well,
I would have to think because of the minors in there, it'd be too easy just to give everything you drink in the middle of the theater.
That's what I was thinking.
I would build, dude, while sitting in that Star Cinema.
That'd be a liability issue.
I would build, I told my wife, you know what, I want to build the freaking most badass adult-themed, not like a porno theme, but like adult-themed, like movie theater, where every freaking seat is like a Lazy Boy recliner, right?
They had one of those in Austin that went bankrupt.
Really? How did it go bankrupt? Yeah. Nobody would. Who would not want that experience?
It was. I'm trying to remember the name of it. Well, my wife and I, Allie and I. God, I'm tired. They did like a preview where they could train the staff before it opened, and we got to go. I think it was like for $10 each or whatever to cover costs or whatever. And then you paid for your food or whatever. But it was like it was literally exactly what we just talked about. It was. Literally Lazy Boy recliners, and it wasn't that many. Like, and it was a small theater, like maybe 50 Lazy Boys tops.
Yeah.
Like not real big. Maybe yeah. like 10 rows across, 5 deep, one big at all. And it was cool. The problem is everyone was falling asleep.
Oh.
Everyone was falling asleep, and it was fucking expensive. Like, they wanted, like, $30 a ticket.
Jeez. Well, there's your problem right there. I mean, you can't make that much.
Whatever it was. So it didn't last very long.
I can see
everyone kept falling asleep. Like, way even when you're wide awake, you would, like, I mean, anytime you go in a place where it's dark and you're watching a movie, you're going to fall asleep if you're not wide awake or sitting up. And that's what I think was part of the problem. And then the other thing was, is that, like, it just, it was so expensive. Because yeah, you couldn't pack them in. You can't pack them in.
It would be different, too. If it's $30 a ticket, your meal prices, your food cost needs to be low enough to where people justify that. You know? Like, if I want to go in there, if I want to pay $30 a ticket, I'm not paying $25 for two Cokes and a little bag of fucking popcorn.
No, you know what I mean? It's true.
Like at a normal theater does now. You'd have to say, plus, you know, it'd be cool to have one of those where you actually can get like a real meal, you know? Like, I mean, and if you get like something like a cheeseburger, like a Five Guys cheeseburger, something, you know, a little bit more higher end than like, you know, those little crappy grill patties they got in most places. Something more higher end than your normal stuff, like maybe bar food, like higher end bar food, you know, something like that would be kind of cool. But you have to make it to where it wouldn't do what?
Kind of like the Alamo Draft House there. They got a pretty full menu.
Yeah, as long as it's not like, you know, just heat them up in the microwave kind of food, you know, like it's really cooked, you know.
Like it's cooked, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's bar food, but it's not like, you know, frozen cheese sticks. Like,
yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I mean? Like, it's a step above that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something at least equivalent or better than, like, Twin Peaks or some shit like that, you know?
Yeah, we just got one of those a couple months ago.
It was terrible.
Really, our food was
titties
good.
Are...
Yeah, the titties. You really you liked it? I didn't like it.
I didn't. I've never been.
I mean, I don't buy it. It could all be a little different, but food was good.
I mean, I've been to Hooters, but I haven't gotten in like Twin Peaks or Tilted Stones or any of those.
Hooters food isn't very good, though. At least our Hooters isn't. Food's pretty bad.
If you were going to own one fast food chain and franchise it, what would it be and why?
Chick-fil-A.
Why? What's that?
Popeyes.
Popeyes.
Why?
Because it's the best goddamn fried chicken on the planet. Everybody wants it.
Everybody wants my fried chicken, motherfucker.
Dude, let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you a little story.
Tell me a little story, man.
This is about... Okay, I've worked for my company that I work for now. I co-opted in college with them. So I've been there, what, since 97, technically working for them? Well, we actually changed one of our IT models around. To where our support services, you didn't have to physically be on site anymore. Like, we have data centers, but you don't have the admins don't have to physically be there with the server. We have a little group that's called Touch Labor that if you want to need to, like a drive swapped out or whatever, they can go do that. But we remotely administrate all that stuff, right? So we were starting to create this new organization. Our headquarters was in Lafayette, Colorado, which is a suburb of Denver, right? So they said, all right, we finally developed, got our teams together. They're like, okay, we're going to fly most of y'all up. We're going to develop our new policies and procedures and all this kind of stuff. So I fly up. I get there, go in to work the first day. They're like, everybody's like, oh, I know we're going to go for lunch. We're going to go to this awesome new place that just opened up. It's the best place, man. We've been going there almost every day. It's freaking amazing. Everybody keeps saying this. I'm like, damn, what? This is going to be badass, you know? I wonder what this place is. What kind of food is it? Oh, it's fried chicken. You'll love it. I'm like, oh, I love fried chicken. It's my favorite thing in the world to eat. They're like, okay. So we start to go. We're like, all right, what's the name of this place? Dude, it's the best ever. You ever heard of Popeyes? I was like,
no
way. Are you fucking kidding me? Y'all know where I came from, right? Y'all know where you flew me from? It's from here. It's from here. Yes.
Is it originating
my
Louisiana
body
is
built
bayou?
By Popeyes. Huh?
Popeyes is from the bayou?
Yeah, it's from New Orleans. It's where it's from. It's New Orleans Project.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't you watch the commercials, Logan?
Dude, listen. When they invented DVR,
Louisiana Kitchen,
and you were able with the TiVo to fast forward through commercials, the amount of actual live programming that I watched went from 100% down to maybe 5%.
Good point. Mine is too, but it's still hard to miss a pop. At least around here, it's hard to miss a Popeyes commercial.
I can honestly say I haven't seen. I cannot remember the last time I saw a Popeyes commercial on TV. I don't even think there's a Popeyes in Austin.
No, because they don't have granola encased chicken there.
Hey, man.
It'd be more like granola encased celery.
Wheatgrass. Tofu fries.
This is true, man. It's a very hip place. That's why I live in Round Rock. I live in the burbs.
But my whole point of that story was this entire building of like 150 people, all they were talking about was going to Popeyes, going to Popeyes, going to Popeyes. I'm like, moneymaker.
I know what mine would be.
Yeah, Shooter just Shooter's obviously listening.
I know, Shooter's a good man. Mine would be a Sonic.
Why a Sonic?
Great question. It's because my brother has worked at one through high school, and I as a part owner in like 5 Sonics. So all I would have to do is just give my brother money, and then he could just go manage it.
Oh, okay. Let's take out that entire part of the equation. You're starting from complete scratch. You have to bring it up. You have to develop the company. Which one is it? Is it still Sonic?
Honestly, I don't know. I mean, if I was going to do it, I would probably – I got to tell you a story now that you've told a story. Is that in my hometown in Clinton, Missouri – is the only McDonald's, or at least one of the very few McDonald's in the entire U.S. that does not have a dollar menu. And the lady who owns it, which happens to be, this lady's super genius, it's basically kind of a crossroads where if you come from Kansas City or, you know, Jeff City or from Kansas, and you want to go to Truman Lake where I live, it's like just a big lake, Lake of the Ozarks, you want to come, you have to go through Clinton, Missouri. Like 5 roads converge in Clinton, Missouri, and on the corner sets this fucking McDonald's. Right. So, like, I mean, this place is a tourist trap like nobody's business. And if you're coming from the city, you want to get something to eat, there's nothing for another 30 miles until you get to the lake. When you get to the lake, it's all even more overpriced. So everyone always stops there. And they just make money hand over motherfucking fist, and they have no dollar menu because she opted out. She's like, we don't need that. So literally, like, when you could get, like, a Big Mac, like a value meal Big Mac back in the day for, like, say, $6, they were charging 10.
Wow. Well, that's supply and demand.
She brought the rights to Burger King, too, so no one else could buy a Burger King.
Supply and
demand.
So
she paid the franchise fee. Genius. But probably what I would do if I was going to own one, it would probably be a Subway.
Yes. That was going to be another choice. Because the overhead is so minimal, ridiculous.
That's what exactly I was going to say.
I was going to say, besides Popeyes, really the true moneymaker is Subway or Chick-fil-A. Because your food cost is so nominal. Because think about it. With Subway, it's a bunch of bags of vegetables that you cut open and dump in a bin and you throw it on top of a sandwich. You don't have to deal with fryers, so you don't have to get that special certification to do for frying foods. You know, you have basically processed sliced deli meats, which the cost on that's pretty low, even though it's gone up a lot lately. Well, there's no $5 footlongs anymore. But even with that, it costs probably about $1.50 to make a Subway sandwich, and you're paying $6 for a half, you know, for a 6-inch, you know.
This is true.
And like Chick-fil-A, think about what you can get there. Chick-fil-A sandwich, Chick-fil-A nuggets. And now you can get grilled Chick-fil-A nuggets and grilled Chick-fil-A sandwich.
They have a chicken salad now that my wife gets occasionally.
Which is all pre-made. You don't have to do nothing. It all comes in and boop, there you go.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I don't think they make it there. I mean, they'd probably make it, you know, in a KFC regional kitchen and then send it in. But the only thing you got to do is basically you are making nuggets or a sandwich.
And it's either fried or grilled. It's one of the
exactly.
Other.
That's it. To tell you, the moneymakers are the, and like my, the KFC, I mean, not KFC, that's a shit place. But Chick-fil-A here, dude, it is bustling every day but Sunday. Every day is freaking packed the hell out. No matter what time of the day, doesn't matter, it's slap loaded with a line and the drive-thru wrapping around the building.
Yep. They extended our drive-thru side to make two lines and make it longer because they've had to put traffic cones down to wrap people around the store, behind it, back up the side, and into the parking lot at the Best Buy, and they have waitresses that come out and take orders down the line because they just can't keep up with it.
They do that with ours just over the
line. It's always like that. Ours is like that almost all the time. And we're actually, we have one in the mall and one across, not across the street, but not too far down from it on the main drag, and they're building a third one.
Damn.
And they could easily build two more, and we'd probably still couldn't eat lunch in less than 35 minutes.
Subway.
Always slammed.
Or, you know, another one that I would do is, what I would do is, because I'm just like a rebel, is franchising is kind of tough because unless you like have some serious, I don't even know why we're talking about this. It's not like it really matters. No. But franchising, unless you've got like a solid brand name and they have solid like national marketing for you, owning a franchise really doesn't do shit for you. You know, like if you own like, I'm trying to think of a good example. What was the name of the shaved ice place? What? That was in New Orleans. Huh?
The shaved ice place in New Orleans?
It has drinks. It's in Memphis, actually.
Well, that's a big difference.
Yeah, I know.
There's some close. Eskimo Joe's or something around
something
here.
Like that. Or, like, you're paying like $500,000 a year, but you're not really getting anything. You might go open your own damn place. Because there you're paying for the location and you're paying for the franchise name. Like, that's what's good about Sonic and all that, because you're not paying for the marketing. Oh,
which, on top of that, you bring up another good point, which is this is so irrelevant to Pipes. But from what I understand, too, a Subway franchise fee is one of the lowest there is in the market.
Really?
Yeah.
I think McDonald's is one of the highest.
They're dying. Anyway, we got 10 minutes left. We probably should get back to the tobacco.
No, shut up, Moonbeam.
I didn't even say it.
He just wanted to say Moonbeam.
I just want to say Moonbeam, dog.
And he didn't want to say Moonbeam. You want to say Moonbeam.
Moonbeam. Start calling you Star Chaser Moonbeam. But I don't know what I think about this. I mean, I'm not a big vapor fan, but for compared to the vapors that I've smoked, it's very tame. Like, I could definitely recommend it to someone who is, like myself, who doesn't smoke a lot of vapors but doesn't want to get overwhelmed with a Perique. Smoking something like this, for me, is definitely tolerable. Like, it's enjoyable. Yeah. I mean, it's the favorite pipe tobacco I've ever smoked. I mean, I'm still on the mission to find something that's like, where I'm just like head over heels in love with it. But I mean, I think it's decent. I mean, it has some sweetness. I like the caramel. You definitely get, the Virginia is definitely forward on this, and the Perique is definitely, it's more like a condiment in this than being like the main course, without a doubt. And it, ironically enough, which I think is interesting, is that this Elizabethan mixture was made by Murray and Sons until like the mid-90s or whenever Murray and Sons stopped making pipe tobacco for Dunhill. And then it was out. And then when Scandinavia STG bought, or either acquired or bought the trademark or whatever, started making it, they started making this again. So it is very possible that it said in 2013. So it's very possible that we have one of the first tins when it was re-released.
Oh, yeah, probably. Probably so. That's true.
And if you're watching the show, you're watching this shithole train wreck, Moonbeam, then if you stick around here for another few minutes, we will get you a two-year-old tin if you just listen closely and follow my instructions just a short minuto.
Yeah, I'm actually picking up a little bit more spice and actually a little bit more sweetness to go with that at the bottom of this bowl. Which I'm going to relight it.
My bottom of my bowl is definitely different. I'm not getting more sweetness. I'm getting more of the perique now. A little more bite to it. Not tongue bite, just a spice bite.
I will say it's a great burner, though. Like, I only had to relight like twice, and I just dawdled this bitch out. I have to say, it was a good smoker. Like, right out of the tin, it was beautiful. Just put it in, pack and tamp, and it was off to the races.
I'll tell you, the second half of the bowl, though, to me, is much better than the first half of the bowl. It's got like a bigger, bolder flavor at the bottom of the bowl than it does to start.
I would kind of almost say the opposite. Like, I actually enjoyed, like, when I got down, in probably the final third of the bowl, for me, it got kind of like, musty's not the right word, but kind of just kind of like, kind of had like a dirty, kind of a dirty mouth feel, dirty finish, where I think the first half was much cleaner and brighter, and I was able to get a lot more of the sweetness and not, it wasn't nearly as muddled, at least I thought.
This one I could actually kind of break into thirds because the very top half didn't like that much. It was very, I guess it was mainly just the Virginias all I was getting. It wasn't real sweet, but it was just the Virginias. The middle part was really good. I liked the flavors. They melded well. I could get the perique behind all the Virginias. There was a little sweetness and a little spice. And then the bottom, I'm kind of going to go with you on that one, Logan. It's a little, and I could almost use the word musty. It's a little musty, a little dirty tasting.
It's like waking up after being out in Vegas after IPCPR day 3, and in the morning you're scraping rat turds out of your mouth. You kind of what it tastes like.
Yeah.
I can kind of see what you're talking about, but to me it's not as bad. But, I mean, this is basically almost a fresh pipe too, so...
There we go. Do you guys put pipe cleaners after you smoke? Just leave a pipe cleaner in there to soak up all the slobber?
Usually I do.
How long do you leave them in there?
For a day.
Just a day? I just leave them in there until the next time I smoke, then I clean out the pipe.
Well, you smoke it the next day.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, I have some sitting over here. I've got to get a freaking pipe rack. Badly, I've got to get a pipe rack. But, yeah, usually I'll leave it in there. But I'll smoke it the next day. They stay in there until I take them out. That's what I do.
But, you know, stay in there for a while.
You could probably talk to old Moonbeam over there, Ben. And Moonbeam is quite the woodworker and could probably whip you up something custom because I have to say, pipes are, I mean, they're expensive, some of them. But for what you're getting, it's not that expensive. Pipe tobacco is dirt fucking cheap. But pipe racks, to me, are extraordinarily expensive. All of them are $50 to $100 for a fucking pipe rack when you can go buy a pipe for that much. It seems so strange.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm not a woodworker, so I don't know what it takes to make one, but I like how you always volunteer Jared to make stuff for you.
Listen, there's a lot of things in my house. I mean, the only reason my wife and I are still married is because of Jared. Because my wife has freaking projects out the ass. I got a funny story. So my wife, when we moved into this house, I mean, we got, I wouldn't say we got our dream home, but we got it pretty young. I think we were like 28. We've been in here, 29. And it's a really nice house, you know, all that stuff, you know, the American dream and stuff. Well, it's about 15 years old, and it's not old by any stretch, but, I mean, it's dated a little bit in certain things. But around the fireplace was just weird, the old tile that they had there. So I was getting ready to go to India for work for like 2 weeks. My wife's like, I want to retile around the fireplace. And I'm like, Allie, you're not going to be able to do this. She goes, no, I'm totally watched HGTV. I could totally do this shit. And I'm like, okay, well, here's what we'll do. I was like, you got to do it from stem to stern. I'll get you all the supplies you need. You know, you can have 2 weeks to do it. But if you start it, it better be finished by the time I come home. And, you know, I come home 2 weeks in India. There's all this tile that's busted off the fireplace. But nothing's been finished. And I'm like, so I see you didn't do it. She's like, oh, it was too hard. It was impossible. Well, then I go out to the freaking, our laundry room connects to the outside garage.
Forgot about this.
And, like, I'm not, the light's off in there, and I'm not really paying attention. And I run into something. I stumble the shit out of my toe. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? And I turn on the light, and my wife had used, like, a 2x4 to try to stir up the stuff you put on the back of the tile.
The mastic.
The mastic. And she used a 2x4 to stir it. It obviously didn't stir it well enough or whatever, but had let it harden in the 5-gallon bucket. So I had a 5-gallon bucket with a freaking 2x4 beamer coming out of it, coming straight up, sitting in the garage. And I left that damn bucket in there for at least 2 months just to remind her on how bad she fucked up and she couldn't do it. And needless to say, Jared came down, brought down all the proper tools. And we actually, every time people come over, they always compliment on how good the fireplace looks.
Very nice. Compliment that every time I see it, too. I'm like, man, that thing came out nice.
It really did. It's probably your best piece of work around the house.
Wow.
Yeah. So, anyways. So, what do you guys give the Dunhill Elizabethan mixture on the scale of 1 to 5? The scale of truth. We'll start with Moonbeam.
Oh, I can't give it all that much. It's not that it was horrible. I smoked the whole bowl and I'd smoke it again. I don't need to keep any on hand. I don't do it. I do it enough, but I can't think what the exact scale is. Here it is. Because maybe if it was on sale, I'd need to get some.
So you get like a 3.5?
No, I'd almost go one step lower and make it like a 2.5.
2.5?
I might buy some when it's free. When it's on sale, but I would definitely smoke if it was around.
Okay. What about you, Bullshark?
I'd go 3.5 on it. I like vapors.
I thought you were going to be more like 4.5. You talked it up pretty big.
Yeah, but I'm really picky. To me, pipe tobacco is a different animal than like cigar. Like we have a billion different cigars, and there's like a trillion different, you know, of pipe tobacco. I mean, not only do you have, you know, you have this one pipe tobacco, but then you got so many people that have blended it that you have this one pipe tobacco, but it's 5 different blends, so it's almost like an infinite amount of pipe tobacco. So I'm a little bit more picky with it because I'm like you. I got a couple of some that are like Steadfast, always going to be in my rotation. But I don't think I found anything that I've got I've got one small pipe rack, but what it is, it's a big giant wooden tobacco canister with a couple little pipe racks on the side of it. And it's a huge one. Like, it would take at least 16 to 24 ounces of tobacco. And yeah. I always thought, I'm going to put something in there and really use it because it's from, like, the 30s and 40s.
That's cool.
But it's like, what would I put in there? Like, I don't have anything I would put in there. So I'm kind of picky about, you know, the pipe tobaccos, you know. And, like, to me, it's like the Balkan Sobrani to me is the shit. That's probably the closest so far that I've gotten to the pipe tobacco, that or probably maybe Hades Delight by GLPs or Gaslight, which I've fallen in love with lately big time. But I can't really decide if I'm English, you know, Oriental or Fur Blend or Straight Virginia. I'm kind of all over the map with what I prefer, but to me this one is really good. And it's a smooth vapor. Because a lot of vapors, you've got that perique that comes and really hits you, you know. There's a lot of Perique. Perique is just an accent tobacco in all of these blends, but like this one, it just has just a touch to get your attention. But that's about it. Like, I'd like to know what the percentage of Perique is in this blend. I mean, it's probably like maybe 5%, maybe. I bet it's pretty small. But
yeah.
On top of that, I mean, I like it. To me, it gets better as it burns down to me. When it gets, like, especially the middle, to me, the best part, like Jared said to me, is the middle part. But for me, the middle part is actually the longest lasting chunk of flavor that I get out of this. Like, it's the longest lasting out of all the thirds of this, probably, you know, pipe bowl. But I mean, I really like it. I definitely will always have it around. But like when I smoke it over like Nightcap or my Mixture 965, maybe. But probably not.
I think I'd rather smoke this in my Mixture 965.
To me, they're the same. It's a different side of the same coin. Because to me, middle of the road, you got a middle of the road English, you got a middle of the road Virginia or vapor. They're the middle of the road tobaccos of both of that style of tobacco. It's very smooth. It's not going to overwhelm you. So like if you want to try vapor, this would be a good starting point. Same with mine.
That's what I was going
to
say.
If you want to, like, if you want a starting point on an English, my Mixture 965 would be great.
Early morning pipe
is awesome. But yeah, that's just the way I feel about it. That's why I get a 3.5. I mean, I'll keep some around. Will I go out of my way to find it? No, probably not. I mean, it's not like a Penzance or you know, Sobrani, but it's a good vapor, and I'll always have one of them around for sure.
I'm going to go a little bit out of probably what people aren't expecting. I would give it a 4. And the reason I would give it a 4 is this, that I think it was the most overwhelming, the best tasting thing ever. Hell no. But for a vapor, that I think it was one of the, for being a guy that doesn't really like vapors, did I find it quite enjoyable. It didn't blow me out of the water, and it still was, you know, subtle enough to allow me to enjoy the Perique without being a, you know, an Escudo. Absolutely. I mean, and that's why I give it. The only drawback that I don't like is I love the fact you can get early morning pipe and, you know, 965. And I mean, I bought like 10 ounces of Nightcap back in the day, like probably 10 months ago. And I have it all just jarred up. And I really wish that this was something like that because I hate having to buy a 10. Like, I like being able to buy stuff in bulk. But, I mean, what can you do? But I'd give it a 4.
I can see that, and I wish they would sell this in bulk. I mean, because they only have 3 bulks: early morning pipe, my Mixture 965, and Nightcap. That's it. It's all English.
Yep.
How about putting Dunhill? Let's put this in bulk. How about maybe this and Dunhill Flake in bulk?
That's what I want. All Ben wants for Christmas is be called Moonbeam and more bulk Dunhills.
Yes.
Well, with that being said, let's give away some of these tins. So normally I just have people email me. Let's do, since we're a little early on ending tonight, compared to where we're usually way over. Tell me, guys, any ideas? I mean, I'm going to have people email me like we normally do, but you want them to do anything funny or just email me and the first 5 people that do win a tin.
I don't know.
Well, while you're thinking on that, I actually got a little question over here. I kind of answered it real quick, but what a vapor is. Some people, they're just thinking of like VAPOR, vapor.
Oh.
No, this ain't the e-cigarette show. Ben, you explain.
Yeah. No, what a vapor is, it's actually a lazy way to describe this. Basically, what a vapor is, it's VA for Virginia / PER for Perique, vapor. It's not like POR. But that's basically what it is. It means a Virginia and Perique blend. It's just, in the pipe community, they just short it to vapor. That's just what they call
easier.
It. Yeah, it's just quick. That's it.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
But I did see the need to clear that up with anybody that doesn't really know. Just you say vapor, that's the first thing you think of. It's like, no.
Yeah, so that was
a little different in this world.
So it's like saying, instead of saying I'm smoking Connecticut cigar, I'm smoking a Connie.
Yeah.
Yep. Shorthand.
Yep.
Shorthand. So unless you guys think of anything good, we'll just take the first 5 people that email me, Logan at Cigar Federation, put Dunhill Elizabethan Mixture in the subject line with your full name, address, and then certifying that you are of legal age in your jurisdiction to consume pipe, tobacco, or tobacco consumption products. And it doesn't matter, the first five, it could be tonight or it could be a week from now. So if you're listening 2 weeks from now, you might as well go ahead and email me, because you never know. I'm not sure how many people are watching this, because I didn't promote it super heavily today because I was busy and I'm an idiot. But the first five people, when one of these tins come into you, hot.
And I think I know one person who's going to be smoking a tin of Elizabethan mixture.
Who's that?
And they happen to be smoking a fresh tin of my mixture 965 tonight.
I'm guessing Cheater. It's amazing how much shit we give away on Cigar Federation.
It is.
Like, we literally give away about 200 cigars a month.
It's nuck and futz.
Dude. And now that we're pipe tobacco people, I mean, giving away five tins on a show? Hey, why aren't you watching this shit, people? What the fuck's wrong with you? I don't understand.
I don't get it.
So, my wife's home. I need to go eat dinner. It's late. But any parting words, Moonbeam or Bull Shark, before we come back next week?
What are we doing next week again? Is it nightcap, or are we going to do early morning pipes?
We got early morning Pippa.
Perfect. Sounds good.
And that way we'll promote it. Anywhere, last words, Moonbeam.
Don't call me Moonbeam.
Don't call me Moonbeam. My name's Moon. Moonbeam. My daddy.
Love it. Alrighty then.
Alrighty. So everyone, thank you for watching episode 17, Pipe Dummies, Elizabethan Mixture. We will see all of you. And make sure you email me. Won't announce the winners tonight. And Shooter, you can't win two tens because you emailed me twice. Let me just say that. So appreciate all watching. Have a great night and a great weekend. We'll see you all back next Tuesday. And just for if you're watching, we're moving the show. My wife's training for a marathon. Her class has started back up. And it's not her first marathon. It's another marathon. But we'll be starting at 9 Central or 9 Eastern instead of 8. So we'll be back an hour. So that'll be like that until probably the cows come home. So with that, appreciate you. Thanks for checking out Pipe Dummies episode 17, Elizabethan Mixture. We out.
Wow.
Moonbeam.